This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Two branches of the healthcare industry are becoming one. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Drugstore chain CVS is buying Aetna, one of the country's largest health insurance companies, for $69 billion. At a time when so much in the American healthcare system is uncertain, this adds another potential game changer. With us here to make a little sense out of what it could mean is Eric Gordon, professor at University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Sabri.
Let's just start out by sorting out what's in it for these two companies. Why does CVS, a drugstore, want to buy Aetna, a health insurance company?
CVS wants to get more of the dollars we spend for healthcare. They want us to come into their stores more often to, you know, pick up prescriptions. And if CVS controls the insurance company that pays for our prescriptions, that insurance company might push us to go, well, no surprise, to CVS instead of to Walgreens or Long's or wherever else you might go.
And what about Aetna? What's in it for them? They'll get cheaper drugs, maybe, by sending their members to parent company CVS?
That's part of it. Aetna's had trouble growing, so this could be a way of, you know, getting some growth that it hasn't gotten in the past. But it also could save money on drugs. It also could save money by sending us to CVS for routine care and routine tests. CVS is going to put in little wellness centers. They have minute clinics in their stores. That's a lot cheaper than sending us to a doctor's office.
This kind of merger is different from, say, you know, two drug stores getting together or two health insurance companies getting together. In those situations, there's an obvious threat to consumers. But this is different. This is two different parts of the healthcare system getting together. Is there an obvious impact on consumers?
Here's what could happen. The companies could save money. They could pass some of those savings on to us. That's sort of the trickle-down theory, and, you know, sometimes not much trickles down. But they also could force us to go, well, to CVS, even if we want to go to Walgreens, and they'll have a lot more power over where we get to spend our health care money. We might not be able to go to our doctor. We might have to go to a minute clinic at CVS, and we might not like that.
Eric Gordon teaches business at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you, Eric.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.5% to 1% range, with the Dow future up 222 points. Must be thrilled about that tax plan. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.39%.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Earlier this year, the Treasury announced it would phase out MyRA. MyRA was an Obama-era program that allowed people without access to retirement accounts through their jobs to set up their own with the government. The idea was to address the fact that half of working families have less than $5,000 saved for retirement. Today is the last day those government savings accounts are accepting deposits. Andre Cherney is the co-founder and CEO of Aspiration, a private online bank that's trying to get more people to save and to trust banks. Cherney told my colleague David Brancaccio that the MyRA program, while good-intentioned, was an example of government inefficiency.
The U.S. government ended up allocating and spending $70 million around this program and only managed to sign up about 200,000 individuals. That's basically a cost of $3,500 per person. The problem is, instead of reforming it, instead of making it better, the current administration came in and just did away with it entirely. And we're left in the space where we see government really oscillating between either being unfortunately incompetent or indifferent.
And so if the government didn't pull this off well, as you describe it, maybe it's up to the private sector. But the thing is, the private sector spends a lot of time and attention trying to sell us financial products for our retirement. And sometimes the fees are a little bit high.
So many of the companies in the financial industry make their money based on really the customer's failure as opposed to the customer's success. Late fees or overdraft fees or ATM fees, as opposed to saying, how can we make money when the customer is doing really well? With that being the case, it's no wonder that so many Americans aren't dealing with their financial challenges because they don't know where to turn and they don't have a partner that they can trust.
Where's some of those clever Silicon Valley types, not necessarily only in Northern California, but the types? I wish they could work on a problem like this.
Well, that's what we're trying to do at Aspiration. The customer decides what to pay us. If they want to pay us zero for any of our products, any of our services, they can pay us zero, get treated the same as any other customer.
And so when you're out there trying to drum up venture capital for your enterprise, you can make the case that there's a big enough market for the type of work that you do?
One of our early investors was a guy by the name of Jeff Skoll, who was the founding president of eBay. And when we were first talking to investors, of course, a lot of people thought this pay what is fair approach would be folly. But he said, no, this is going to work. And he said that's what made eBay successful, was they took this big bet on trust and back then had people believe that the person on the other side of the country was actually going to send them the Beanie Baby or baseball card that they bought over the internet. That was a crazy concept in 1995. And we've taken this similar bet on trust, and it's paid off. 75% of our customers who open a bank account with us come in with no investment or retirement accounts whatsoever. And within the first year, they open their first investment or retirement account.
That was Marketplace's David Brancaccio speaking to Andre Cherney, the CEO of Aspiration Bank. It's part of a series of conversations we're having around innovations in savings in the savings industry. Later this week, we'll talk about something called the selfie bond. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.